Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, as we've been discussing, the number of passenger seats available on aircraft using Dublin Airport next summer will not now be cut because the High Court granted a stay on a decision by the aviation regulator to cap the peak season slots. So for the latest on this, we're joined now by Will Goodbody, RTE's business editor, and by Oisin Coughlan, CEO of Friends of the Earth Ireland, and you're welcome. Will, to yourself, and can you explain to us firstly why the airlines looked for this stay?
Yeah, I think, Sarah, at this point, I think most people are all too well aware that there's a cap on passenger numbers using Dublin Airport of 32 million a year. It was put there in 2007 as part of the planning permission for Terminal 2, and that cap is about to be reached and likely to be breached by up to a million this year. Now, airport operator DAA and airlines are concerned and frustrated by the presence of the cap, and DAA has lodged a planning application to have it lifted. In the meantime, though, the aviation regulator, the IAA, still has to continue with its job of deciding on the number of aircraft takeoff and landing slots at the airport. And last month, it issued a decision that the number of passengers seats on aircraft using the airport next summer should be restricted to 25.2 million in order to assist the airport in complying with the passenger cap. But that's around a million less seats than would have been available this summer. And of course, that's of great concern to airlines, as it would result in them having to cut routes, lose slots and that they've historically held, and cost them money. So Aer Lingus, Ryanair and a group of US airlines asked the High Court if they could take a judicial review of the IAA's decision, which the court said that they could. And because that's likely to take some time for that case to be heard and decided, they also asked the High Court, could a stay on the IAA's decision be granted in the meantime to stop it being implemented? And that's what was decided today.
And what arguments did the airlines make in court?
Well, the hearing of the application for the stay took place last Friday and heard many arguments. But chief among them, I suppose, was that if implemented, this decision by the IAA would cost the airlines a significant amount of money. Aer Lingus told the court it could lose 362,000 seats and 84 million euro in revenue next year, and as much as 130 million euro the following year if the IAA's summer and winter caps on seat numbers remains. Ryanair told the court the cap will cause it to lose 3,000 slots, 550,000 passenger seats and 50 million euro a year. And Ryanair also said that it would make it difficult for it to retain reciprocal slots in airports which it flies to from Dublin and to Dublin from. While the organisation representing US-based airlines, that's Airlines for America, it told Mr Justice O'Donnell that as well as costing its members money, the restrictions would cause them reputational damage. And it argued that the cap amounted to a breach of the EU-US Open Skies Agreement. But the airport operator DAA supports the IAA cap on seat numbers because it would help it comply with those planning conditions. And it told the court last week that the planning restrictions are binding, and if a stay were to be granted, those conditions will be breached. Today, though, after considering all these issues over the weekend, Mr. Justice O'Donnell gave his decision and he granted the stay, as he said, on a limited basis, pending a further order of the court or an outcome of the proceedings. And he said there was no doubt this was a serious issue to be tried. He said he was satisfied that airlines would suffer irreparable permanent harm if the stay were not granted. And he said the potential consequences of a breach of the planning conditions did not outweigh the highly probable and very serious adverse consequences of failing to grant a stay in these proceedings.
What has the reaction been?
Not surprisingly, the reaction from the airlines has been positive. Aer Lingus said it welcomed it and would now assess the full implications, including any potential impacts on decisions that the slot coordination organisation for Dublin Airport may take as a result. Ryanair described it as a sensible ruling. It said it believes that the cap is in breach of EU legislation on freedom of movement. It said it remains confident that EU law will triumph the 2007 Fingal County Council planning restriction and will allow airlines to grow traffic and tourism with the benefit of Dublin's second runway. Dublin Airport operator DAA, though, said the decision would be welcomed by the aviation sector as it brings clarity. But it said the planning cap remains a significant issue for Ireland and it's essential the planning regime now moves quickly to fully resolve the issue for the long term. While the Irish Aviation Authority, which took a neutral position on the application for the stay, said it notes the decision but added that alleged harm identified by the airlines flows from the planning conditions, not as a result of it taking account of those planning conditions. Two groups unlikely to be very happy with today's today's development, though, are some of the local residents near Dublin Airport and environmental groups who are opposed to the cap being lifted because of the damage they claim it could cause in terms of increased carbon emissions and higher noise pollution in their homes.
All right, well, good buddy. Thank you very much for bringing us all those details. And indeed, one of those environmental groups joins us now, Oisín Coughlan, CEO of Friends of the Earth. Can you tell us your reaction, Oisín, to this decision?
Well, it is only an interim decision, but it is surprising. It seems to me what's clear from that is that commercial interests are outweighing environmental concerns so far. But I think there's two dimensions to it. One is the strict planning process here, and then there's the wider climate issue. But even on the strict issue, like, because the planning restriction is on noise and on traffic, it doesn't involve climate. Mm. But even on those issues, but if I understand what the judge is saying today is that, like, the potential loss to the airlines in the future, until they even make the decision for sure in the High Court, is such that he wants to stay the cap until they have the full trial, the full hearing in due course. And that's, I understand that, but that means basically, you know, they'll now start taking bookings probably up to and past the ceiling that was being thought about. So when they actually come to hear that case, whenever it's December or February or March or whenever it is, the airlines will be able to say, well, now we actually have actual potential losses because we have actually made bookings. So if the potential losses were enough today for the judge to say they needed to win, well, then you'd imagine actual losses would be even more strongly favoured by the judge.
Do you think then, by the sense that it's likely that this cap is going to go? I know the airlines argue that they have put in and are putting in loads of different environmental measures to make airlines have less adverse reactions on the environment, you know, more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, to say, I mean, what's clear today is it still says that the planning cap is binding. So it's not quite clear to me how the judicial system is going to reconcile that. But on the broader question, what really stands out today is, of course, that climate actually isn't part of those planning restrictions. Like, environmentalists support the cap because it's a crude way to make emissions be brought into the equation. We need a more robust system, not just in Ireland, but in Europe and globally, as to how we manage airline emissions, because they are growing very fast and they are, I mean, the judge mentioned irreparable and permanent, definite and irreparable harm on the airline's profits. Well, we absolutely know that emissions of all kinds in all sectors are causing irreparable and definite harm. Which is, if you just have to look at Spain in the last few weeks or the last few days, we know what climate breakdown looks like. So, like, these judicial rulings aren't going to make this issue go away. We're going to have to cut emissions radically in all sectors, including aviation. And it'll be up to all the political parties who've been talking about the cap to actually address this question more fully. And I actually think I heard Leo Varadkar, the former Taoiseach, say we should have a cap or a regulation system based on emissions, not on pure numbers. And I probably agree with them.
What about regional airports then? Because since we've been discussing this on the programme this afternoon, we've had loads of texts from people talking about the regional airports, also texts indeed from people talking about the environmental concerns. We'll get to some of those a little later. But could the airlines take those flights to regional airports, do you think, or should they?
Yes, up to a point they could. I mean, because I know Waterford Airline has been in the news too. So within existing capacity, and basically within existing emissions and existing numbers, it would seem to definitely make sense to spread that around. I mean, a lot of our tourists go to the West Coast anyway, and there's spare capacity in Shannon and in Cork. So that would seem to make a lot of sense, even just from a traffic and just a general management point of view. But what we wouldn't be in favour of is, like, building extra capacity in other airports, because basically, if you build more capacity, you just get more traffic and you get more pollution, because everyone wants to make use of that capacity if you've invested in it. So we have to think carefully about how we use whatever capacity we have.
We will prioritize. Need more capacity, won't we, Oisín? You know, I mean, when we look at the CSO projections for our population growing 10% over the next couple of years, and we've seen the huge population growth in just the last couple of years, tourism bodies crying out for ways to get people onto the island. Is it not just a given that as the population grows, we will need more capacity?
Nothing. In a world where climate breakdown is accelerating, as we've seen in Spain, nothing is a given. I mean, you know, there'll be parts of Spain that Irish people won't go to as tourists anymore. We won't be flying to parts of Spain in the summer because it'll be too hot. And so nothing is a given when the climate is breaking down the way it is. But we will have to see how we prioritise our use of whatever airline capacity we have. And there will be some, of course. And we're not even talking about reducing it significantly. But we're going to have to, for example, incentivise those frequent flyers who fly for business to use teleconferencing more often and have frequent flyer levies. And so it's not, we're not actually campaigning against the annual family holiday. We are saying that, like, you know, something like 50% of all global emissions come from 1% of the world's population, so when it comes to airlines. So we need to basically spread those who fly often and fly long haul and fly intensely need to fly less if we're going to allow tourists to fly, make that one trip every year, and make family who want to, you know, visit their loved ones around Europe, around the world, to fly. There can only be so much flying in a world where flying is still very, very intensely polluting. And we have to decide how best to allocate that.
All right, Oisin Coughlan, thank you very much for joining us with your reaction to that news. And as I said, lots of texts coming in on this issue. I'll give you just one or two for the moment. Ed says standing still isn't an option. If Dublin Airport isn't allowed to increase its passenger traffic, it will simply contract and Ireland Inc. will lose vital connectivity. Another person, though, in relation to the environment, says please keep this cap. When will we face the terrible reality that we've a climate crisis? Restrict the flights or the wisdom of the Cree Indian chief will prove true until the last tree has been cut down, the last fish eaten and the last river poisoned. Will we know that we cannot eat money? That comes from Eileen.